Friday. Those magical words that you can say to a stranger, you can say to anybody, hey, it's Friday, and immediately they're stoked about it. Thank you for reminding me that today is the last day I have to work for a couple of days. It's Friday. Magic. Magical words. Wow.
It has been one of the biggest changes in my life since starting this job back in October, because for like the 8 years before that, a Friday meant nothing to me. If the Raptors played on the weekend,
you still work weekends, Jays games. That's true. You're still doing fast breakdowns. It's at
yeah, 2 but the fast break,
Saturday.
The fast breakdowns on Tuesday and Wednesday.
Okay, but you're still working Jays on the weekend.
Not either way, weekend. Now Blake understands why you can go
Let
into like a
Friday,
home sense. But, like, you can go into a home sense and they have a little sign that goes, hey, I have parties on Fridays or whatever. And you go, who would buy such a thing? Me. Whenever you're on a Friday, because you're so stoked on Friday that you'd buy a plaque that just says Friday. You would go to a bar or a restaurant called Fridays and they go, what a brilliant name for a bar. Because that's just where everybody, what a great reminder of the greatest day. The greatest day. Friday, unquestionably. There's no question that Friday is the greatest day. Don't even want to hear any debate about it. It's the best. It's the absolute best. So enjoy your after-work beers. You're driving in today, right now. You know, you listen to the podcast. You're sitting at your desk already somehow. I don't know what you're doing up so early, but go back to bed. And all you're thinking about is that little after-work drink, that little socialization, that little plan you got, that Netflix binge you got set up. Oh, like all of us. The little food you got set up for the weekend. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I have a wedding tonight. Not my own. I'm going to a friend's wedding. Thank you. Thank you. I have friends. That's really nice. The bride and groom are huge Leaf fans. But it's their wedding. I've been to a wedding before where there was a big sporting event on. And it was awkward at times, and you could tell that the bride's side of the family was a little upset about how distracting it was for a lot of the bar. The good thing is the bride's parents are also hugely fans, but I don't know how to manage this, because tonight, okay, I want to set this up by calling this game, where do you guys rank this on the must win scale out of 1 to 10? Because I didn't want to say it was a must win. But to me, personally, it feels like a must-win. Like, it's very, very hard for me to see how the Leafs win this series if they don't win tonight's game. Okay? And I think everybody would agree with that. And there's those numbers, right, where it's, oh, 80% of the teams that win Game 3 go on to win the series, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. I'm not even using that stuff. I just mean in my heart. That's how it feels. The reception starts at 5, or the whatever. The wedding starts at 5. It's an early start. I feel as though there is a scenario here where things that are very important are done around 7. And, like, could I leave? The wedding is downtown Toronto. Could I leave, sneak away, go to a bar for 3 hours, watch the Leafs game, return, and be there in time for socialization time at around 10 o'clock? And would anyone notice? Is that so gauche? Like, how bad is that on the bad scale before we go to the must-win scale? Because I didn't realize how badly I wanted to watch this game until last night when I was talking about this with another friend who's going to the wedding, and he compared it to his favorite football team being in this spot, who's also tortured, the New York Jets. And I realized it's very true. I very much want to watch this hockey game live in its entirety, not updates and then watch the full game on Saturday morning, especially if they lose. Oh my God, having to watch this whole game over if I know they've lost on Saturday will be hell.
Yeah, you'll be very hungover too in the event that you see on your phone that they
bar.
Lose. So, it better be. Let me share with you my experience in a similar situation. I don't want to tell you what to do, but maybe this informs yours. 2015 Jays playoff run. Saturday afternoon game 2 against the Kansas City Royals.
Oof.
It's the David Price, Yordano Ventura game, and that game started at 3. I'm the best man in a wedding in Ottawa, and
you're the best man. You're screwed.
That's, I know.
You're an integral part of the piece. Like, already I can't relate to you. I'm just some friend
there
at the wedding.
Somebody's
you know?
Extra's extra invite.
Yeah. Well, yes, that'd be rude, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, here's the other question, JD, before we get into this. You're not bringing a plus one?
No.
Okay, no one on the roster is playoff eligible, as we understand it. So you don't have to worry about that element of, like, if you sneak off, you got to sneak off with two, and there's two holes at the
That's
table.
That's easier.
Yeah, so that game was a 3 o'clock start. So you think that's great for a wedding. But we had to do wedding photos first, and that was at, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon so that we could get the light and stuff. And then there's this nice little gap where it's like, okay, well, we have a couple hours here. The girls are going to go do their thing. Can we go to a bar and watch the game? So we do that, and we're all drinking and stuff. And the Ryan Goins error happens, and I just could not shake it off in time for the wedding. So we get eventually to the wedding reception, and like, people are, like, watching on their phones and stuff like that. But the part of the experience I want to share with you is that the Ryan Goins error was really hard to shake off energy-wise the rest of the day. And I don't know, if things go poorly in this game, if you want that to hang over your night.
Okay, so this is actually the part that I fear for my friend. Because I love these two people that are getting married. Like, really, really love them. They're two of my closest friends. And I'm close with both of them. Like, if they got a divorce, I know which one I would choose to still be friends with, but it would be hard. But it would be hard. No, they know
who. You thought about that, eh?
No, well, I've known the one longer. I went to university with one. And so that's just the way it goes. It's just the one who is the longer of the friends is the one. But it would be hard, right? Like, I would say goodbye to my friend Dan, and I would cry as I hugged him and be like, why did you have to do this, Daniel? Like, why? We were such good buddies. But if he... But I know the whole wedding is going to be, I don't want to say this out loud, but it's going to hurt if they lose. There's going to be it's a big Leaf fan wedding. Like, these are people from Whitby
and
Barrie.
But imagine if they win, how fun it'll be.
No, that's what I'm saying. They need to win. I'm telling you, Toronto Maple Leafs, you need to salvage this Friday. They put this Leafs game on Friday. It's the stupidest thing in the history of humanity. Like, why this isn't on a Saturday? Why they didn't just gap out the extra day? Make sure that they have one extra night off, play it on a Saturday, get everything lined up. Now we got a Friday-Saturday Leafs game. This is the most insulting thing. I know that Tampa Bay is in this series and that no one cares about that team, but the Toronto Maple Leafs are God's team, and so the idea that you would put them on a Friday is just end the day of rest on Saturday when God was supposed to rest is ludicrous. How
God
could you do this,
Sunday.
NHL? Oh, well, yeah, I'm saying that.
Sunday.
They play Friday and Sunday.
You said Saturday.
Yeah, you said
Saturday's
the day of rest.
Oh, well, you guys know that I am just tired and I'm just trying to figure out the days and rank them. And
the point here is that the pressure index, Dan's number one at the top. You better make this marriage work. It better be worth it to miss this Leaf game.
It's just there's a lot of Leaf fans there. There's a couple Leaf haters there. That I went, because again, it's a university crowd. I went to university in Ottawa. There's a few Sens fans sprinkled in the mix. There's a few Montreal fans sprinkled in the mix. And there's going to be nothing worse than the Leafs losing and people not having the opportunity to really watch the entire game and understand what happened. And then all of a sudden, the odd beak around midnight from my friend Marcy, who's a big Sens fan. Like, I'm not ready for those moments tonight. And
now,
me having not seen it, knowing
Marcy
I have to watch it.
Watching the Sens playoff game tonight, or
yeah,
how are
exactly.
the Habs
but that's
fans
it.
Friends watching
it
the
doesn't
Habs
matter.
Playoff game?
It doesn't matter. That's the whole point of those franchises. It doesn't matter. All the other NHL is doing, like, I don't even believe that people are fans of other teams. The only thing around the other NHL fan bases is not liking the Leafs. Like, you either love the Leafs and you're a fan of the Leafs, or you are also a fan of the Leafs, but you're just a fan of hating them. That's it. It's one of the two things. That's the whole NHL. That's in this country anyway. I'm sure there's like a Penguins fans or something, you know, like down the States. Like, I don't know. They don't ever cover it on any of the major channels. So I figure how could there really be? Time to move on. Tonight.
I was going to say, people are already texting you some answers, so we can sprinkle those in with throughout the
what
show.
What do we got? Do we have any good advice?
Yep, JD, you have to leave and watch the game. It's not a question. Yeah. By the time 1 a.m. hits, everyone will be liquefied and forget about it anyways. The game is far too important. Of course, they'll both understand it. If not, oh well, it's the Leafs, Todd and Caledon East.
I like you, Todd. I like that the first piece of advice was like, hey, screw them.
Just go.
The Leafs, go. Just don't even think about it. It's
he has
too
a
big.
Good point about everyone will forget anyway. It's like that Office scene where they... they have to like do the, hey, I'm going to make sure that people know I was at the party and get a photo and have a talking point and then I'm out of there. Right. Pam and Jim. Do you remember that? So
yes,
that's you tonight. Get in a photo. Get it. Get a crazy story, and then you're out.
Okay, but here's the risk. The risk is that you become a part of the story of the loss, right? Like if the Leafs lose, then all of a sudden it becomes actually there could definitely be some people who do that. But Ailish, I don't even like that you put that out there because now I know that's out there. You just opened the Schrodinger's box or Schrodinger's cat's box of, hey, JD, you could have been the one who messed with the vibes of going to the bar, right? Like that you could have mattered in any way from a karmic standpoint in this situation. Which one is the good karma? I hate that you brought that up. That hurts. That really hurts me. You know that that's going to be in my head all night. But if you sneak away and someone notices and then they tell people that you snuck away, right? Because I'm going to be at a table. So the people at the table are going to notice that there's just a place card there and an empty seat. That would be kind of a noticeable thing. I tend to talk a lot and get put at tables in weddings for the to accommodate that. You lose the game. All of a sudden you're not there. What happens upon your return if the story starts to become, oh, you weren't there? And they lost, and now you're back here. You know what? It's like journalism, right, Blake? You don't want to be a part of the story. Like, I don't want to be a part of that story.
Yeah. So, how adjacent to a place to watch the game are we talking for this venue?
Very adjacent. Adjacent as hell.
I'm wondering if you could do a, instead of a 3-hour absence, a period by period, and maybe you shave a couple minutes off the start of the game. Shave a couple minutes off the start of the second period. So then you're going, hey, I'm around for half an hour. I'm gone for 15 minutes. I'm around.
I could have gone to the bathroom. You know,
I could be out having a cigar with the groom. Nobody knows. Yeah.
That's the way to do this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You just have to be hustling back and forth. This is basically, I've been prepared for this my entire life with
the two dates at once scenario.
Exactly.
From
I was just thinking that. The sitcom date where there's two different girls in two different hotel rooms in the same hotel.
Who was that NFL guy that did that at Valentine's Day?
Jordan
Poyer?
No, that wasn't Jordan Poyer. It was
two girls in the same hotel. That's.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This is what I'm talking about now. See, this is what I want to talk about with you guys. This is why I need to talk this out. I think we've landed on this, that there's going to be at least potential sneakaway situations here. Obviously, I have my Rogers Ignite on my phone, but that's too rude. Like, you can't bust that out. Because as soon as you bust that out, then a crowd will form, right? You're just like meat in the zombie movie now. All the Leafs zombies is, oh, is that the Leafs game on a phone? And they'll flock to you. You can't be a distraction. I don't think that's a possibility. I thought about earpiece. You know, a little earbud, one sneaky little earbud listening to the game like I'm in the 1950s. Like, I thought that that was a situation, but no. I think that it's full-blown, got to sneak away, two hotel rooms. Brilliant idea. Okay, back to the question at hand. Tonight's game, I told you guys, to me feels like Leafs lose this game, they're toast. I just have a tough time seeing them winning the series. All of a sudden, you've got all the pressures, all the demons going into a game against Tampa in their barn, game three, must win. I don't want to be the one who gets stuff with you never believed in them. Of course, I would still believe, but boy, it would be a really tough proposition to go and beat Tampa in 3 of 5 games. Ailish Forfar, where are you at? 1 of 10, Leafs must win scale tonight.
7.3. And my reasoning behind that is winning the first game on the road, obviously huge, especially after you lost. We've talked about momentum. Even if it is something or not, you want to stop that in its tracks. You're going to help shut up the crowd if you win on game three. For game four, there'll be a little bit less pressure. They won't be on you if the Bolts get up in the first period and they had just won the game before. There's pressure from the crowd. So I kind of look at these two games on the road in like a vacuum, right? So if you're going to win one of them and split the series, you want to win, I think, game three. You got to stop them in their tracks. You have game four. Not that you want to lose any of them. I would rather win game three, lose game four. Of course, this all matters, like how they win or lose. But tonight, I would put more pressure on winning, getting back to a little bit of a lead, stopping that. You don't want to lose two in a row. So that's why I put it where it is. But it's also not the end of the world. That's why it's not itching to the 8 scale for me. It's a little bit in between. That's where I am.
Blakey.
I'm going to give it the old 6.7 because...
Whoa, you guys two... are...
Oh, wow.
Well, no, I just wanted to
so
make...
We don't even... Hey, guess what? I don't even need to go watch this game, actually. It turns out, thanks to you two, is okay. You've actually settled this for me. Hey, win or lose, go you have fun out there, guys. 6.7? What are you talking about?
6.7. I'm trying to make a 67 joke. Come on.
Oh, okay. I...
Be with me here. It's the least... But
where's
yeah.
the booze, Vic? Boo, Vic. 6.7. Oh, boo. Boo forever.
Minimum. The bare minimum pressure for the Leafs in any playoff scenario. No, I'm not going all the way to 10 or anything like that because, look, it'll feel bad if they lose this game and especially if they lose it in poor fashion. But it's a 7-game series. We've seen enough of these that, you know, it's not. I'm not going to bury them if they lose this game mm-hmm. because the look, on the list of ways the Leafs could still upset their fan base, falling behind and then doing a fake comeback against Tampa ranks pretty high still. I think it's more there are a couple individual actors who I feel like there's a lot of pressure on tonight. I don't know if you want to get into those now or save it for a little later.
No, I won't do that now.
John Tavares has to show up tonight.
Okay, so that's number one for you. Because
yeah,
John
Tavares is top of the list for me.
So to me, it's an 8.5 out of 10 must-win scale. I think Tampa is just, they're a Stanley Cup team. They got a Stanley Cup coach. They got Stanley Cup players. I have a hard time seeing them letting a series slip away once they're ahead like this. If the Leafs get out to a series where they are so good in game one and they had this chance to step on Tampa's throat and Tampa gets that bounce and Hedman scores that goal and it wakes up Hedman and it wakes up Point and it wakes up Kucherov eventually by the third period once they have a big lead because that's the way Kucherov plays and it wakes up Vasilevsky and they steal one in Toronto, then they go to Tampa Bay and right after that, they establish the momentum of the series of we've got this thing. I just think that the team that's never done it before, that has all the pressure in the world, all the pressure of the fan base, all the eyes of the hockey universe, being in that game four and then being in that game five back in Toronto, it's just tough. It's really tough for me to see Toronto winning both those games, and they would need to win both of those games, right? They would need to. So it's an 8.5 for me. You've got to recapture the belief of your team, the belief of the series, and you've got to keep that seed of doubt in Tampa's head of, we're better than you. You have to pitch perfect games to beat us. We're not going to screw this up. We're not going to fumble the bag. We're going to make sure that we're there for you. I think you got to have that tonight. The pressure scale when it comes to the players, Blake. I wanted to ask you guys who you have at the top of the mountain when it comes to who the most pressure is on tonight. John Tavares, the $11 million man. Jack Campbell, the goaltender who, in that last game, like we all said, had some real deflating moments. And you can even look at that Hedman goal and specifically and go, what exactly was going on here? You had no patience and you fell down. The whole rule of a goaltender when there's someone in front of the net like that is don't make the first move. And Jack dove to the first move, right? Mm-hmm. Jack Campbell, with all the goaltending history in the past with the city as well, William Nylander or Sheldon Keefe? I'm going to start with you, Blake, because you've already given your answer of John Tavares.
Yeah, I think it's John Tavares. And the $11 million is one thing, but I think sometimes he gets talked about and you forget he's only 31. Like, sometimes I feel like he gets talked about like a 35-year-old. And you're like, oh, the back half of this contract, you expect it to not, you know, live up to the full $11 million or whatever. He is younger than Steven Stamkos, who has not had much trouble answering the call in the postseason so far. I know last year was a very difficult one for John Tavares in the playoffs and for a lot of obvious reasons, but this is a guy who doesn't have a great playoff track record in general before that too. He was okay with the Islanders. He was almost a point a game guy over three years and four playoff rounds, but he didn't have a great first playoffs with the Leafs. He was probably their best player in the Columbus series, but they lost that series as well. And he's been borderline invisible in these first two games. And the Leafs are losing the second through fourth line battle so far. Tavares is a guy that because he's the captain, because he is so good when he's on, and because he's supposed to be one of your, you know, one of your leaders and one of the guys who doesn't bend to the moment and stuff like that, You need more from him than just being a guy through the first couple games, which is what he's been, even with like very favorable deployment in the first couple games. The faceoffs aren't enough. I need to see more out of John Tavares. I'm not writing him off. I don't think it's impossible, but the veteran guys on Tampa's side, and Stamkos is a great example because of the, you know, the free agency what if and the fact that Stamkos is a little older, has answered it more than John Tavares. So Tavares has been pretty small part of the series so far. I need to see more from him and more than just me. The Leafs need more from him because they can't They can't be a one-line team and beat Tampa.
Yeah, so my answer is also John Tavares. And for all the reasons that Blake added, you know, I had those all pinpointed as well. But I'll add something else that's a difference this time around. In the first two games, Leafs had home ice advantage, and the shutdown line of Killorn, Cirelli, and Point played a lot of their minutes against John Tavares' line. So if you're going to criticize him a little bit, that's a factor that, okay, they couldn't really move off of. But when Cooper is going to be getting last change this time around, I feel like you're going to see that Point, Cirelli, and Killorn line more against Matthews. So it's going to open up the opportunity for the Tavares line to have a little bit less pressure on them in terms of their top line shutting them down. So if you're not going to be able to adjust and have a better game with a more favorable matchup on your line, that to me is a huge error. Or a huge X factor, at least, for the Maple Leafs tonight. So Tavares should get an easier game. Not that we need to be, coddling what he needs in the playoffs, but that is something very important for the next two games that should allow for him and his line to have a better matchup, which means, okay, if you're not going to shine in the next two games, that's just a very failed postseason.
I think that Tavares in past playoffs, he's been really good. So I don't look at him through the lens of the Marner thing where it's you really killed them in some series, because, Blake, when you bring up how good he was in the Columbus series, like, yeah, he was their best guy in the Columbus series. And he's been quality for them. You look at his playoff stats, they've never really had a dip. But Jason Spezza last season was 37 years old. And granted, limited minutes in the postseason. He was only playing 12 minutes a night, and he wasn't asked or tasked with defensive responsibilities. But he scored 3 goals in 7 games against the Habs and had 5 points. So yeah, John Tavares being 31 years old, and the idea that you're supposed to have some kind of offensive decline is stupid. Jason Spezza is actually kind of like a comparable player to Tavares in some ways offensively. Not a speed demon, someone who's supposed to be able to score. Tavares doesn't have nearly as heavy a shot as Spezza has, right? Spezza has that ability to just kind of pick it. But I need to see some force. Spezza has played with force the entire time he's been with the Leafs organization in the postseason. You've seen his pedigree as a player show up in these moments and in these big games. And you haven't seen that with Tavares through two. And Ailish, that's a great point by you about the line matchings and what the Leafs have frankly asked from Tavares throughout this series so far, which is, hey, you know, have an impact. Go out there and make sure that you're scoring on the power play. Have an effect on the power play. Thought Tavares was better than people are giving him credit for in game one. I actually do. It wasn't a didn't score a goal, but Leafs won a game in a dominant fashion, and Tavares chipped in a lot with that, right? You can't play the minutes that Tavares played in a blowout like that and tell me that he wasn't impactful. He was. And there were moments in the game that I could specifically point to. Game two, he didn't do anything. You're right. There's a lot of pressure on him heading into game three. I think that he is already sort of positioned, though, as someone that is polarizing to Leaf fans. He's going to have a big game to change some people's minds, or he's going to have a big series. I agree with you guys that there's a lot of pressure because he's the captain, and your guys' answer is probably the correct one, but he's not going anywhere, right? John Tavares is here to stay. The answer to me is any of the other three guys. Leafs lose this series? Seriously, Leafs lose this series. Nylander's the most obvious trade candidate on this team. Leafs lose this series. There's no way that Jack Campbell is back. Leafs lose this series. There's no way that Sheldon Keefe is back. Those three guys are playing for their jobs. So what I want to see from those three is do not make mistakes. Do not blow this. Because this is the proof of how badly you want to be a Toronto Maple Leaf or whether you are going to be a Maple Leaf. I've said this many times before, but playing for this organization is a privilege. All the fans do the boo-hoo, cry, ooh, it's so hard to play in Toronto, boo-hoo. Everybody cares about whether you win or lose. Oh, people hold you accountable if you suck here. Oh, people, it's so funny, too. People think that the Leafs players go out in Toronto and they get mobbed like they're the Beatles. You will never see a more reverent city when it comes to celebrities than Toronto fans around Maple Leafs players. If you see them out in the street walking, you might see the odd person that would ask for a selfie. I've been to bars, restaurants, you name it, and seen Leafs players. I've never once seen people approach them at a table. I'd like to have the Leafs players from, let's say, What's the modern era now? The Matthews era, even before then. I'd like to have all their stories of weird fan interactions. Like, get out of here. It's not happening. You know what they are? Our technical director, Vic Palladian, whenever he'd run into Kasperi Kapanen at the nightclubs constantly, taking pictures with him and hanging out with old Kasperi when he was here. That's the most any athlete has been bothered was by Vic. It's a privilege to play here. People care. What you do actually matters. You played for the Florida Panthers last night. They win. Nobody cares. It goes into the void. Whatever. How did Bobrovsky do? I don't care. Who cares? It's the Panthers. Like, imagine caring about the Panthers. How pathetic that would be. This is real. This is real. This counts. You get to play for a team where it counts. So can you do that? Tonight is the night. I agree. There's a ton of pressure on Tavares. That's why I put the four groupings together. But if you're Sheldon Keefe, you can't cost this team a game. You can't put in Kyle Clifford and have him take a bad penalty that breaks the team's back. Like, they got to fire you on the spot if that happens. Like, you can't coach game. Hey, Manny Malhotra, like, you're up. You know? Chenoweth, you're up. Somebody else other than Keefe is up because you can't have it continue. And Jack Campbell, I just feel like the pressure is on him in a way where if he lets in a bad goal tonight, I could see it really hurting how the Leafs perform, right? Like, I could see it sapping the sales.
Confidence. And we've seen that multiple times this season where he gets really down on himself. And hopefully he's had that time to I know he had some time off and he came back looking great. And maybe that was a mental reset. But we have seen him start to doubt his level of play and doubt his contributions to the team and put a lot of it on his shoulders. So you're right. If it's a bad goal and if it's okay in between periods, you start to feel like, okay, I lost that period for my team. Well, then does it start to build where it's like two periods in a row and then post game you hear those comments? Like, that is something that is worrisome, and he is a guy that wears it very visibly on his own shoulders. And the other team, That's a powerful thing to know that goaltender might not have it all in terms of the confidence level.
Yeah, I don't think he needs to outplay Vasilevsky, right? Because it's Vasilevsky. It's an impossible bar. He just can't break their backs with bad goals. He just has to come up with one of those games where the only ones that he lets in are undisputable.
Snipes.
There was just no stopping that puck. Hey, there was no stopping that one, Jack. That's not on you. Let's keep it moving. Let's keep it rolling. Leafs can't be up in this game, and then he lets in a bad one. It can't be a draw, and then he lets in a bad one. By the way, my answer was also Tavares, but I didn't want to do three Tavareses together.
Right.
But no, but truly, if you're looking at who's going to be here, there's nothing Tavares is going to do where he's gone. He has a no-movement clause. He's the captain of this team. He's making 11 sheets a year. He's not getting traded. It's just he's locked in. So there's pressure from him from a legacy standpoint, but he'll have more opportunities to change that, right? The other three guys, this might be it for you, in this city anyways. And so it's kind of big. That's a lot of pressure to think about. Before we take the break, one last thing. It's our technical director, Vic Palladian's last day on the show. So today is his Oxcord Friday. We're going to, he's fired, obviously. We fired him, but still we're going to miss him.
for real this time.
Yeah, for real this time he got fired. No, he's leaving because he's pursuing another opportunity. But, yeah, it's going to be an impossibly hard day to get through this show because the guy's one of the biggest Leaf fans I know, and there's nobody that, like, bleeds more blue for this team than Vic. Like, losing him from the show, I feel like we're losing, like, the heart of our show. He's literally the heartbeat of our show. He's the most popular person on it. There's no question. Like, there's no question in terms of who's the most likable. It's just so it's his Oxcord today. What is Vic's in Twitter?
It's a lot of letters.
Yeah, V. Pilati 590. V. Pilati. Ugh, even the fact that you got to change that. But yeah, V-P-O-L-A-T-I 590. It would mean a lot to me if you guys could send Vic nice messages today. Just good juju for the Leafs. And
he, like, sees, honestly, the text line, so send in some stuff there because he's always
want to do it, send
it
in the
well.
Text line too. But yeah, Vic, who is fired today, his last day on the job, please send him some nice messages. This is going to be his last day on the job. And we absolutely love the guy. We adore the guy. And honestly, I'm not even kidding. He's actually the best in the business at this. You're not supposed to say that to other people because you offend whatever, but he actually is. Like, he's literally the best guy at this job in the entire business. So, yeah, Vic's last show today. Let's go out with a bang. And Leafs, if you lose, you lost on Vic's last day. Like, way to go. Way to ruin all the vibes
you
in the city.
Ruined JD's wedding.
It's not my wedding.
Vic's last day. Well, you know, you're attending the wedding. You're going to make JD rewatch the game in the morning, hungover and angry. And Vic's last day. So that adds to the pressure scale. I might bump my 7.3 up to 9 now because of those two factors. So no pressure, guys.
I actually think the way we've laid this out, yes, there's a lot of pressure on the Leafs, and Tavares is the top of that. Vic is pressure-free because he either gets a goodbye gift of a win or he gets just so thankful that I don't have to deal with this team Monday morning kind of thing. But JD, having sat with it for a little bit, you're high on the pressure index as well, because show me the sitcom episode where someone pulls off the two places at once scheme well. I wish we had an extra camera on you tonight. Like, you got to wear a GoPro or something so that we can keep an eye on this at intermission.
We'll see. You know what, though? I was going to say that I'll probably post something to my Instagram stories, but that feels like really flaunting it, you know? Like, being like, hey, I'm sneaking away from a wedding.
You don't want to draw attention to your scheme until after the scheme.
But this is involving all my different loves, right? Which is watching sports, schemes.
Scheming.
Yeah. Yeah, schemes, good content. Like, it's tough. It's a lot of it's a big juggling act for me. All right, let's take a break. God, I love you, Vic. I hate that I had to fire you. Why did you make me fire you the way that I did? So cold-bloodedly. This is all your fault. Let's take a break. Let's come back. Let's bump up the positive vibes. Big time pressure index on the A-list today. It's the Fan Morning Show. JD Bunkus, Ailish Forfar, Blake Murphy. Keep those texts and tweets and Instagram DMs coming. It's the Fan Morning Show. A-List next.
The smartest takes on the biggest stories in sports. The Fan Drive Time with Ben Ennis and Stephen Brunt. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Friday, everybody. It's going to be a beautiful week, beautiful weekend. Things are looking up. The sun rises well. We're still in the 6 o'clock hour of our show. It's a beautiful thing. The vibes are high. It's really nice to just be doing our show while the sun rises and not in the 8 o'clock hour after we're halfway done and it's still dark out. So that's a very nice.
Don't tell me the vibes are high as I'm waiting for Leafs pain and my friend Vic is leaving the show. All right. Vibes are at best survivable.
Well, I'm going to try to bring some
barely.
For you. There's a couple texts in the text line regarding saying bye to Vic, which is very lovely, regarding JD going to the wedding tonight. I can give you a little bit more advice from some of our listeners. Max in Toronto says, no plus one, you're golden. I wanted to bail for a wedding for my favorite band, but the wife wouldn't let me. I was devastated. Worst night ever. So,
I will say I'm glad there's no plus one tonight. There's no doubt about it. But okay, as a bachelor, bringing a date to a wedding is a great time. Like, bringing a date to a wedding is the best because you look awesome because it's all your friends. It's, you know, it's an open bar. You're dressed up. It's a great date spot. And I feel like one of the things in the pandemic that has been not discussed enough has been the removal of plus ones from bachelor and bachelorettes from... Like, you can't just be a casual dating somebody and bring them to a wedding anymore. That's out. If you're bringing someone to a wedding...
You're engaged.
Yeah. You got to be a couple years in, you know? Like, you got to have a real serious connection to this person. The idea that I was allowed to get... Like, this is actually how rude my friends have been in, because I've been to now a couple post-pandemic weddings where I go, oh, do I not get a plus one? And they go, absolutely not. I went to one wedding that was 50 people, right, when it was last year where it just opened up. I don't know what this number is, but it still is something where it's tighter. But yeah, I think that those of us out there, the bachelors who like to keep it that way, having cool, fun dates, weddings be cool, fun dates, because it's like you're paying a lot for going to a wedding. having a date there seems like it should be a no-brainer. You get that as a on the credit, you know, like are you the credit ledger of I brought you to a mm-hmm. wedding is a good thing in the credit ledger. Really good thing in the credit ledger. And now it's gone forever. So I am golden in that I'm more free and flexible, obviously, but not as golden in the sense of the credit ledger. So
I know where you're getting at.
Yeah.
One more here. Mike in Newmarket. If they're really fans, there will be a TV at the reception. Problem solved.
Yeah. Again, I think that they're not.
There's probably some beautiful venue, not Jack Astor's.
I also like how this guy, this is my one of my favorite versions of a fan who does the, like, if you're a real fan, you know, the gatekeeper of fandom. This is always my favorite, one of my favorite guys. A real fan would know this. Like, okay, I guess. Sorry. I guess I won't be joining the real fan club this evening. I am curious how they're going to handle it because I know they care. Like, the bride and groom both care. My
Maybe
friendship.
They have like a cool little surprise where they roll out, like, you know, when you're in science class and they roll out the TV and it's Bill Nye, the science guy, and you're so excited.
Yeah,
this is going to be you tonight.
That would be exciting, except for then again, no one's talking. Everyone's just watching the Leafs game. I don't think you can do it. Like, you turn the wedding into just a sports bar. Like, that's what it becomes, is another night at a sports bar, not a memorable wedding night. And again, now Leafs lose. Now you've really changed the vibe. Everyone's watching it. They blow one. Ouch.
Okay. Well, let's believe the Leafs will win and that you'll have a beautiful night and then Vic also has a beautiful last day. Let's try to bring some more
positivity.
Sounds
like you're putting Vic down.
At the A-List.
Now, it's time for the A-List.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
Bing bong.
What's up, baby?
All right. You know the name Tom Brady. He loves nothing more than making sure everyone is always talking about Tom Brady. A little bit of a media lull. Well, let me just throw my name out there, get us talking about me. Me. So, yesterday, spicy revelation. He just tosses on social media like it's nothing. Thursday afternoon, he likes to leave things for the speculation. After 20 years of endless debate on this, Tom Brady finally maybe caved into the possibility that there might have been a fumble in the controversial tuck rule play from the Patriots 2001 playoff game. How this came up was Justin Bieber, his buddy, was posting this TikTok to promote his new song called Honest. And what he said was, hey, followers, tell me something honest. And you like stitch the TikTok and reply. So Tom Brady makes this public admission and Vic has the video. It's a little bit hard to hear, but just take a listen.
Honest. New trend alert. Like, tell me something honest.
Tuck rule game against the Raiders.
Might have been a fumble.
So he whispers, and it's really cringy, I don't know, but he gets really close to the camera and he looks around and he goes, the tuck rule game against the Raiders might have been a fumble. And he tweets it out, says, yeah, just in case, I don't know what it sounds like on the podcast. Yeah, keep this on the down low, please, in the accompanying tweet. So if you don't remember this, Raiders were up 13-10 with a minute 43 left in the fourth quarter. Brady drops the pass drops the ball, lost the ball, fumbled it, whatever. The refs ruled that because his arm was moving forward, the play was an incomplete pass. The rest, history, Patriots go on to win. Then they win the Super Bowl. Obviously a controversial moment if you're a Raiders fan too. So is this something? Is it Tom Brady just loving to be in the media or... how are you responding if you're a fan of another team?
Okay, so first of all, I love that Bieber starts his own trend with new trend alert, and that I'm just picturing anyone I know doing that, where they went on their social and went, tell me something honest, and how it would be the obsession of my life sharing that around to friends, laughing at it and mocking it. Two, Tom Brady already did this. He just had a documentary where he sat down, he watched it with Charles Woodson on a couch, and they talked about it, and he was basically confirming that he already thinks it's a fumble. Every football fan in their right mind thinks it was a fumble, but here's the thing. None of us care anymore because it happened in 2001, right? Like, it was 2001. It's 20 years later. Imagine being mad about this if you were not a Raiders fan, okay? If you're a Raiders fan, it's going to haunt you till the day you die, right? It's like me with Malcolm Butler interception. That will be the last thing I see before the lights go out and I turn into worm food. It's the last thing I'll see. Malcolm Butler, dead. That's it. I get
it. That's why you die.
Yes, it probably will be the last thing that pushes me over the edge. I totally get it for Raiders fans that you would care about this. But this is kind of one of those, we all already know this. Tom Brady, like when I saw it, I didn't even think twice about it because I went, one, Tom Brady's already done this thing of rubbing in Raiders fans. Mm-hmm. He just did it to promote his documentary.
It's just weird to be doing this now.
I don't think it's weird. He's Tom Brady. He likes to be in the social media sphere, and he, for whatever reason, seems to be a burgeoning TikTok star. Like, I've seen like 3 Tom Brady TikToks in the last month. Mm. This guy, he loves TikTok. He had one where he was like doing something on his phone, his wife interrupts him. There was that one. I don't know.
Yeah. It's a perfect medium for him because the whole reason he's doing this is he went 8 seconds without getting attention. So a short, exactly. Snackable, attention-seeking app is good for him.
I like this.
If I sound a little bitter, that's because as a new Raiders fan, obviously I have
this one affected you. I'm sorry.
I've absorbed this through, you know, I wasn't there in the moment, but now it's a part of my history as a sports fan, as the number one Raiders fan,
Blake,
in Canada. Yeah.
Well, just a Tom Brady social media phase then. But if you're a Raiders fan, text in. How did it make you feel? Are there Raiders fans here other than Blake? That's another good question. Okay, here's another one. Where does this one rank in top worst fan decisions of all time? One of the most spectacular football games this week, Champions League semifinal, Manchester City and Real Madrid. They're down approaching the 90th minute. They scored 2 goals in the 90th and 91st minute, forcing a tie into extra time. They score an early penalty kick in the 95th minute to win. So that's pretty incredible. Think about how low-scoring soccer games are. You're going to score 3 goals.
It's incredible. Regardless, we get it. 2 goals is a lot.
There's multiple videos of fans leaving in the 89th minute, right before the biggest comeback of all time. It's a semifinal. It's not like a random game in the summer that's meaningless. There's photos and videos of fans sitting outside the stadium, streaming the game on their phone, clawing to get back into the stadium. Obviously, they're not allowed to re-enter. Think about it as maybe the worst decision the fan has ever had. Like, are you trying to beat traffic by 1 minute? Obviously, you think that there's no chance as a comeback, but how awful is this rank in the fandom worst decisions of all time?
Well, for them, it's going to be their worst ever. I think this is sort of just a part of fandom, is that there are some people who are that, and there are some people who are like my mom. When the Jays are down 11-0 to the Angels, she refuses to leave the game in the 8th inning, right? Like, it's just... To me, I guess the older I get, the more I embrace the fact that there are a variety of different kinds of fans. I think that it's more egregious when people leave sporting events when something special is happening or when it's a tight game, rather than it seems like you have no hope and you're depressed. I know that for me, even at different points in my life and different points of sports fandom, like, I would have left a game where a team was getting bludgeoned or that they were going to... Because... It's hard for some people. Honestly, it's hard. Like, I remember one of the most difficult things for me taking this job was the idea that the teams I love, if they lost big games, that I would have to go into work and talk about it or work with that material instead of just do my usual complete separation, like internet shutdown, no televisions on, what is like morning period that I used to have. Mm-hmm. Like when the Leafs blew 4-1 to Boston. That's when I had just started really working at The Fan, and I remember going into work the next day and having to cut audio of the Bruins post game, and it was painful. I hated it, and I went, oh my God, this is awful. This is really, really dawned on me. So I don't really judge people who leave in those circumstances, to be honest. I judge you if you're a fan and I'm at a no-hitter with you, and the person goes, I have to go. And I'm like, no, we're watching a no-hitter. You're staying here till the no-hitter is done. Like, there are special things that happen in sports. You can't leave. Imagine somebody, you know, Kobe's got 70 points and someone goes, yeah, I'm pretty tired. Like, no, you just stay here and you got to watch this to the end. Special individual accomplishments and big games. I probably wouldn't leave. I'm staying there till the end now, but I don't judge fans as much for it anymore, I guess I would say. Like, I'm not one of those fan shamers who goes, look at you leave.
Even in a semifinal game where, like, it's not maybe the last opportunity to see your team play in a big moment.
Like, listen,
one minute early.
You left, and when you leave, you take that chance of the special thing happening, right? The Miami Heat fans that left and missed the Ray Allen shot when they thought that Miami was done and they weren't going to win an NBA title. All those fans were fake, but... that's still a tough moment, right? You run that risk when you leave those games, but it's not my loss. Like, it's the fans. Mm-hmm. Like, it's you. Like, you take that risk into your hands. But I don't think that it's, like, something that I chastise.
I thought that this would solicit some texts about people possibly leaving games early and having regrets or deciding to not go to something. Like, we just got one in from Steve and Allison. I gave my sister-in-law Leaf tickets, and it was Sundin scoring his 300th goal in overtime. I think he means 500 for the hat trick to win. And I missed it like a big loser.
But he gave her the tickets. That's different. Yeah, it's a tough one. I mean, you should have known, buddy, that Sundin was that close to the record and also that it was a game against Calgary. But whatever. It's just that is on you. Did you guys see the Mets-Phillies result last night?
Like, that's crazy last night.
So last night, the Mets and Phillies played, I think it was 7-1 for the Phillies, and the Mets won 8-7. And you would imagine that, and they were on the road, so it's not like there would have been a ton of Mets fans there, but you would imagine that a lot of, if there was a Mets fan there, they're gone. They're out of a cannon there because it's the Phillies. They don't want to be there. But yeah, it's just like, who would have ever expected this thing? That's why sports are so special, is because who could have ever expected? It's not scripted. These things tend to happen. But it is also like playing the probabilities game. You've seen enough of these things. Like, I probably wouldn't have stuck around and watched the Jays game where they're down 7-1 in the ninth inning. I'm thinking, you know what? I'm in Philadelphia. It's time for me to go check out a bar or go to a restaurant or leave with my friends and get on to the next thing. So again, I'm not super judgy of this.
Here's two more texts. Left before Vladdy Montreal homer and Steve Pierce grand slam versus Angels. Not anymore. Oh, yikes.
Yeah. The Vladdy one, you left a preseason game, so whatever.
But also you ostensibly either live in Montreal or made the trip just for that game.
Yeah.
True.
So either way, that's a very special game. I don't know. I think that one's a tougher one to leave, even though it's preseason, because it's a special event game that you, again, either traveled for or it's something you get once every couple years as a Montrealer.
Yeah, it's a good point.
We have a couple more texts for you, JD, or I can sneak in one quick A-list.
I have one tweet from a guy.
Okay,
I'm reluctant to read it because he doesn't follow, but either way... where is this? You know my policy. Like, you send me stuff on Instagram or Twitter normally and you don't follow. I just, like, you're in the void. Sorry. But this guy wrote to me, just said that was funny. He's like, Leafs played the night of my wedding. I watched it on my phone, Leafs Carolina, the night a Zamboni driver beat us. And I was just thinking, how funny is this? This guy, it was his own wedding, and he watched just a regular season game against Carolina. Like, that's so great. And he said he's not divorced. So this guy is absolutely crushing
good for
it.
Him.
I know, but I like, this is a playoff game. I wouldn't be this wouldn't be a topic on the show if it was a regular season game. Like, I wouldn't care.
Right.
And if it was my wedding, I'm not sitting there at the head table streaming a Carolina Hurricanes game. Going, like, people are coming up to you like, "Congrats on your wedding, Bobby." He's like,
"Shut up,
busy. Can't get a shot against Carolina's money driver." Like, yeah, just so great that he did that. Anyway, I think that if you guys want to know why the David Ayers game happened, outside of the Leafs in that season being the softest team ever with absolutely no heart, that's this guy, Bobby. That was an all-time curse. All-time curse watching the Leafs on your phone at your own wedding in the regular season. Okay, let's take a break. Let's come back. And let's talk to Sean Avery. Who does Sheldon Keefe have to play tonight at the bottom of the lineup? He's a huge Lightning guy. Is he finally going to show some respect for the Leafs? That's next on the Fan Morning Show. JD Blake and Ailish, Sportsnet 590 The Fan.